You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1252.
So when they say, oh, you know, I'm just getting tired of owning this house. Got you. Don't roll into setting expectations. The goal is to dig why. But why? What's going on? Is it rented out? No, it's not rented out. Well, why do you want to sell it? You said you're getting tired of it. You're just tired of being a landlord. Is this a primary residence? I need you to dig in. I'm a tired landlord. Yeah. Why are you being a tired landlord? Are they not paying? Like, your goal is to pull it out. Don't just read a freaking question and then move on. You're not going to get nothing done like that.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
I know that most of us will jump on a call and then we go through the qualifications, the four pillars: motivation, timeline, condition, and price. So it's up to you if you want to rearrange some of these steps. I have them like this because I created it and I like it this way. Now, who's to say that on the initial call, they're not going to start shooting you answers that are like right here, boom. And then like, it's rented out, or I have it listed right now. I have a mortgage and you didn't even get to ask those. That's sometimes how it works. And sometimes shit just flies out. Just write it down and then instead of asking it, just reconfirm it when you get to those steps. So this is how it works. If you guys don't have it, each of them have a little flashcard. And then I have scripts and everything like that are super enhanced. But this was the first flowchart. I don't think I've updated it since I made it. But I updated a new one that I've had to switch some of the steps up because I had to include novation and added it right here. And I had like to switch up like four steps to be able to figure it out. Just to add one step right here, it like had me rearrange everything because it messed up some of the things. It was weird. It took me like a month and a half to figure out how to do that one. But I'll explain how it goes. So when we jump on a phone call, just to let you know, right? You're going to jump on a call. You're going to find out if this is the homeowner at their household, right? Then we're going to go over the motivation. Why are you selling? What's got you considering selling? So once they respond to you, I don't want you just to move on. Like, you have to learn to be creative with your own mind and dig deep because this is the reason why they're selling. So when they say, oh, you know, I'm just getting tired of owning this house. Got you. Don't roll into setting expectations. The goal is to dig why. But why? What's going on? Is it rented out? No, it's not rented up. Well, why do you want to sell it? You said you're getting tired of it. You're just tired of being a landlord. Is this a primary residence? I need you to dig in. I'm a tired landlord. Yeah. Why are you being a tired landlord? Are they not paying? Like, your goal is to pull it out. Don't just read a freaking question and then move on. You're not going to get nothing done like that. You set expectations. These two right here are going to help you tremendously on the time. They're going to save time big time if you do it this way. Otherwise, you might just be building rapport with somebody who's never going to be open to it. So when you set expectations after you find out the motivation, yeah, I'm a tired landlord. Great. I like to repeat it back to them. So just to get this clear, Keva, you know, that sounds like you're tired of being a landlord. They haven't been paying you. They owe you this much money and you're ready to retire, right? Right on. Okay. So I just want to let you know up front that I may or may not be your buyer because I have intentions of purchasing each property that I look at, but it's real unfortunate that I can't because of my business models. And so before we move forward, I want to see if we're even going to be compatible for each other. So here's how our business models work. When we purchase properties, we prefer to go cash. It's preferred by both parties. And when we purchase with cash, we look for properties that need some work so we can get them at a discount, put money into them and flip them. And now that you know one of our models, would you sell it to us in that condition or would you rather list this with the realtor for a premium? See, all I did was I set up expectations up front that, hey, I may or may not be able to buy this. However you want to say that, right? You don't have to use my words. I've improved the hell out of this, but I'm just giving you basics on this, right? Then I didn't use this as a deciding factor for them to speak. I want you to, these are back to back. You set expectations without a pause and you move into explaining business model. So you say this, and the fortune that I can't because my business models, and before we move forward, so you roll into it. It's not like an open-end question. You're just telling them. You explain your business models. Now, right here is where they're going to tell you, no, my house is in good condition. I'm going to list it. Most likely, that's what they'd rather do. That's the truth. And you're most likely not going to have the opportunity to work it the way you want to work it. But doesn't mean stop it. Doesn't mean, oh, okay, just hang up the phone. I'm just letting you know that most of the time, this is what they'd rather do. And you probably can't achieve it because they want the highest purchase price possible. You can't do that in a wholesale cash offer unless we're going creative. And at that time, they have to be open to creative, right? So once we lay those down, Once we get the motivation, set expectations, and explain business models, that's when we roll into the timeline, right? When you qualify a timeline, when are they looking to sell and vacate the house? We go over the conditions. We go over their asking price first. I always try to get them the price first, whether you call them, what's your price? Well, let me go over some things and then I'll get you the price. I always try to get their price first. And then, you know, this is where you'll give your maximum allowable offer. From price, if it doesn't work at this point, you're comping the property as you're speaking this whole time. Comping your property, comping it, ask them what they're looking for. Hey, what are you looking to get out of this property after you pay for all the expenses or whatever? What are you looking to net and walk away with after all expenses are paid or however you're going to say it? They say a price, you know if it's going to work or not. If not, try to wiggle it around, give your maximum allowable offer. If that doesn't work, see, there's like here, I'm going to train you guys in a little bit more enhanced training that's not like on this flow chart. At this point, for some of you guys who are in my sales program that are in here, at this point, at number 7, when you give your maximum allowable offer right here, if you go through, some of you guys are in my training, if you go through the sales acronyms portion, BATNA, when I talk about BATNA, B-A-T-N-A, this is where you start thinking. Right here is where you're going to understand if you already need to think about your plan B, your best alternative to negotiated agreement is what it is. They want this price. I know I can't get it. So what's my best alternative to the seller's agreement with me? Like what's going to really help out the seller achieve it? At the same time, when I give my maximum allowable offer right here, now the homeowner has a plan B. They have their BATNA. What's their best alternative? Maybe Bill called them an hour earlier and gave them a higher cash offer. So Bill's offer sounds better, that they'd rather go with plan B than the plan A on the phone, which is you right now, because you're not coming to an agreement with them. But you'll understand that as you go through more through the sales training, guys. But yeah, at this point, you already have to start thinking if your number's not going to work. If you don't know any other strategies, you're kind of right here, really. If you don't know creative finance or anything, you're kind of done. This is where you hang up the phone call if you guys don't come to an agreement, right? I'm pretty much right, right? For you guys who just only know the cash model, at that point, if you guys did all you could and you gave your maximum allowable offer and you couldn't get close to it and tried to negotiate, at this point, you guys would probably hang up the phone and maybe follow up in the future, right? That's probably where you guys would be at. I'm thinking because that's where I was at. Now, if we cannot buy it cash and we understand that, now we're going to confidently let them know that we cannot buy this. Kind of like we told them up front, we may or may not be able to buy it. So there's no surprises here, right? And we did ask them if they'd rather list it, but for some reason they said no. So we move forward. If they said yes, still move forward, but you would be cut off real soon. But if they said no, I don't want to work with the realtor, because a lot of them don't want to, you move forward. So obviously, if you came down here and your cash didn't work, I need you to verbalize that cash isn't working. I want you to try some of these out. Trust me, I do it all the time on my calls. I train a lot of people on these things. So I confidently let them know that I'm not the buyer. Then I re-ask them to list it. I have it in the little flashcards, but I said, hey, I know that I'd asked you in the beginning of the call if you would sell to me and my model or just list it. I want to ask again because our numbers didn't come out. Would you rather list it? So I ask it again. That's how serious I am. I would rather not waste that much f-ing time. I'd rather ask it again 2 times on the call before I even go to terms. And they say no. Ask them to rent it out or renovate it and rent it or rent it again, right? Make more money. But maybe their motivation was the tenant wasn't paying. So maybe right here, you're like, hey, so you're not really looking to rent it out again, are you? No, do you think that that'll ever get any better for you? You want to bring up the distress and the pain, almost scare them if they have that going on, right? You have to be strategic. Find the motivation. You're going to use this. If you want to be smart, use the reason why in the close. If you can align their reason why, you're going to get a deal. If you only think about yourself and I need to get my offer where I need to be, it's going to be hard. Somebody's open to selling and has a why. If you can get that why done, you probably got the deal. If you can't, it's all good. You're like everybody else. Everybody else has got to try to do them. It's totally fine. It works. Sometimes it doesn't. Especially right now. It might not work with the market shifting. After you've asked all of this, we state the way that we can purchase the property is on terms. So we don't just, hey, so I have another model or whatever. Are you open to selling it to me on payments? Or maybe you're real nervous on how to say it and you say it like incompetent. You have to learn to transfer certainty. You guys have to sound kind of like how I do, pretty confident on the phone. If you can present confidence and assert that energy, most people think that you got it going on as far as, okay, I believe this person, kind of like how like policemen, right? They pull you over and they say, step out the car. But if you really know your rights, you don't have to right away. Because they step off with energy and like assurance and like confidence, you're like, they might be right. Same thing here. You have to learn to come out with that energy and that confidence. But typically, like, confidence will come from learning how to do something pretty well. And so as soon as you start learning more and more about creative finance, you'll start to feel it. You'll start to be able to get in line with yourself and become more confident and then transfer that certainty over the phone. And that person will be like, okay, well, this person, Carlos, sounds like he knows what he's doing. That is all part of the game of sales too. It's not just negotiating numbers. There's an art to it. It's all around it besides the numbers. The numbers is the most basic part of sales. That's just the sales part. That's actually the negotiating part about it. Everything else is like a skill. Once they become open to terms, like, hey, so the only way that I can purchase this property at that price is to buy it on terms from you. Have you ever sold anything on terms before? No, what's that? You kind of explain a story. I explain a quick story. Now I explain a different story, but in this one, it's very quick. It's kind of like buying your house or your own car. Very similar. It's like a purchase price and payments over time type of thing. Now, I say it like this because sometimes homeowners will say, yeah, I'm down for that. I want like 80% down or some shit, 60% down. It doesn't work. So I bring up a car story and a house story. Like, hey, it's kind of like how you bought your own house or your own car and you walked into the bank or the dealership and they presented you a purchase price and some monthly payments. Now, they're also going to probably remember an interest rate and a down payment. They rarely don't bring up the interest rate because they're not investors, but they'll bring up a down payment. A lot of them will, especially because that's what they wanted first off. They want money in their pocket. But if they become open and I bring up that story, stories allow them to remember when they bought their car or house and the down payment usually comes up. I'd rather it be geared right here, and I'll explain why, than not having it sectioned off. Because sometimes they might want to ask for so much money because they don't know how it's going to work. And then it ruins the deal when you tell them, I can't even get close to that. So as long as you guide it, then you might have something to work off of. So kind of like a car or a house. And then if the seller brings up, okay, well, how much are you going to give me a down payment or as a down payment? Because when I bought my car or my house, I had to put a down payment. So that will come up. So I just want you to put, yes, we're going to go ahead and put some money down or however you want to respond. But before we get into that amount, let me ask you a few more questions. So try to prolong that answer. We want to find out what are their goals, a couple more things real quick, so then we can see how much money we can put into the deal. At this point, if they say yes, I'm open to it. That means all you got to do is just gather the next questions and answers. And you basically have the information that you'll need to underwrite a deal. More or less a couple of things you'll have to find on your own. But what happens next is you're going to ask them if they have a mortgage or any underlying debts. You're going to ask them if they have interest rates on those. And then what are the principal and interest, tax, and insurance on the mortgage? And then the payments on any other debts that they have with the rates. I always like to ask them what the market rents are. They might not know it. A lot of them do know what their neighbors are selling or renting their properties for. It's good just to ask, even though you're going to do your own due diligence. The reason why I say that is because if you found out they had a mortgage, if they didn't have a mortgage, it'd be seller finance. So you wouldn't ask these questions unless there's an underlying debt, right? Like HELOC or something out, solar panel loan. But the reason why I say you want to ask the rents are is because if you can start understanding how to underwrite, you can do like back of the napkin underwriting real quick as you're speaking to them. Do you have a mortgage? You want $200,000 for the house? I do have a mortgage, $100,000. Okay, what's your interest rate? 2%. What's your payment? $1,000. Oh, by chance, what's market rent? It's $2,000. You just found out right now there's a $1,000 potential spread. But that's not all you, because $1,000 goes to the $100,000 mortgage and there's still $100,000 of equity that's left in place. $1,000 of potential rent, but you got to split some of that to the equity, right? So, but now you're already able to see potential rent in there. Now we ask them, what are your goals with the money once you sell? You know, like, are you looking to buy another property, invest it into another asset or portfolio, pay some bills? I throw out a couple things and ask them what they're looking to do. And if you're like, you'll find out, the most of the time they'll tell you, I'm actually looking to buy another property. I'm looking to pay off some bills. And so we can try to align that. Okay, great. So how much money did you need to achieve some of those goals? At this point, they already know it's a down payment. They know it's not all cash. Remember that. At this point, they're already totally open to what you're talking to them. You already structured them. You gave them expectations, explained your different models. You have more models. You're on the phone with them. This is now 30, 45 minute call. And real deals take this long, just to let you know. They're not 10-minute calls. Real deals take this 30, 40, 50 minutes, sometimes a couple of these calls. That's how real deals get done. They take time, especially creative finance deals, because you're creating terms, you're creating solutions, coming in and out. They're thinking about it. Lots of things happen in these stages. Then we ask them how much of the... You could ask these questions because it's easier for you. Mine's a little different, but this is for people who are newer into getting into creative finance, ask the right questions. And if they give you the answers, we can plug and play them. So right here is like, hey, so what are you willing to accept from me as a payment, knowing that I'm going to pay $1,000 just for the mortgage? There's potential rent of $2,000. So there's $1,000 left, but I still owe you $100,000 in equity on a payment. So I make my money inside of that potential $1,000 with you. Are you willing to split that with me? Right? Simple question like that. Yeah, Carlos. So $1,500 to you, $1,000 goes to your mortgage, $500 to your equity, and then I get to make $500. Because that's where I make my money as an investor in these type of deals, just to let you know. Obviously, I'm not buying it on a discount where I usually get my deals on the purchase price, but that's okay. I'm also a buy and hold investor. I make my money in the cash flow. So I can't overpay for the house and not make any cash flow. That'd be the worst investment for me. I have to do one or the other. I like to have equity right on the purchase and a lot of cash flow, but it's okay. I have no equity on this one. That's totally fine. I need cash flow for sure though. Otherwise we can't move forward. Stand firm. They're open to it. You're giving them their down payment, the highest offer nobody else is giving them, whatever. Ask them how long they're willing to finance you. Right here, I bring up the car business or the house. It's kind of like the car business. You know how you put a little bit of money down and they give you like 5 to 7 years? Or like you put a larger amount of money down on a house and they give you 20 to 30 years? Somewhere in those lines. I say that now because I kind of just guide it that way. I already prepped it up here. It's kind of like buying a car or house. How long are you willing to finance me for? The goal is to always get the longest term, just to let you know. But a lot of us don't know that, especially if we don't have creative finance mentors or people to teach us the ways. So I just give you a little structure. Just ask them questions. And as you get stronger, I'll show you how to create the terms for yourselves, which takes a little bit of time because you're going to have to learn to underwrite, which we'll get into that a little bit later next week. I'll bring up some calculators and start showing you how to underwrite because you're going to need to learn to underwrite to be able to confidently present offers. Otherwise, you're just going to have to call people that can present the offers because there's going to be a day that you pitch creative and somebody's going to finally say, yes, I'm so down. Oh, what's your offer? And you're going to be like, I don't know how to create the offer. That's when you have to reach out to one of us. So that's the next step for you guys is learning how to underwrite, learning how to calculate cash on cash returns, learning how to gather the right information that you're going to need to underwrite and how to analyze exit strategies. It'll take a little bit of time. You don't need to know it all. I'm just saying the better you know that, easier it is for you to get stronger. You don't need to know any of that. It's not mandatory. I know a lot of people who don't know any exit strategies and close creative finance deals and wholesale them. It's totally fine. I'm just trying to teach you guys the better you get at it, the more that you improve on the things, the easier it becomes for you to see things. At this point, they might say 10 years, right here. Cool. So you've noticed right here, they're down. They gave you a $200,000 purchase price, $100,000, 2% interest rate, $1,000 payment, told you it's $2,000 for market rent. They said they wanted $15,000 to pay off some bills. You're able to help them achieve that by giving them $15,000 down on a $200,000 purchase price. Now, maybe on a $40,000 down payment on a $200,000 purchase price, it's most likely not going to work because there's other fees included. But you'll more or less start to get to know that more or less sooner or later. So then you find out it's $15,000 down. You were able to achieve that goal with them. Now they like you even more. Then they were willing to accept $1,500 out of the potential $2,000 rent. And then they said, yeah, I'll finance you for 10 years. You actually just got a whole deal done. The whole terms were created, even if you knew that or not. Now here's the next step. If you know that through just hearing that it's going to work, great. And if you don't, you present it to somebody, they're going to take all the numbers you have and they're going to put it into a calculator and say, it automatically cash flows at 3%. We need to move the numbers around. Or it's going to, hey, it automatically has 13% cash flow. This is a good deal. Boom. And so that's going to be the cool thing about this is whoever you work with, as long as you gather this information, that's why I'm telling you, I want you guys to use the flowchart. You don't have to use the lines. Leave it next to you. Here's what I'd like you to do. Maybe print out the first and second page right here. Laminate it. Get a little erasable marker and leave these things right next to you. And as you get on a phone call, when you go live, do you, whatever makes you feel comfortable, but just remember to look to the left or right of you, wherever you have this flow chart, when you get thrown off, because remember, it's like the straight line system, like Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street, how he talks. There's a straight line from A to B, right? That's where you're trying to go. You take the client from A to B to the close, A to Z or whatever it is. But to me, a lot of times you're going to go off, you know, off real bad. And sometimes in your newer stages, you're not going to know how to put them back on the line and walk them to the end zone. I want you to use this as a structure. Oh, I forgot to ask them this. Oh, shit, I forgot to ask them this. Oh, crap, I need to ask this. That's all it is. Just do that for me. It's going to help you out. And I guarantee you, if you go through these parts, the people that say I'm open to terms, they're going to be really open to terms. Believe me. I've done it so many times. I don't even work deals. I'll call people and say, did you ask them to rather list it or rent it? No, do that for me. Because I already know. I'm going to do that for me and then come back to me. That's how it was taught to me. When I was doing it over and over, somebody said that to me and it clicked in my head. I was like, well, the reality is if somebody would rather do something, somebody would rather do something. That's the truth. So would you. And at this point, after you got the financing done, you just go over the terms, which I just went over. So this is this. We agree to this. Yes. Okay. Do you have any other questions and concerns? No. Your goal, my goal for you guys is to go over the main questions and concerns. I don't want you to hide them. I want you to actually go over them with them because a third party might ruin it for you later. Hey, I've sold my house like this before and I got screwed. Did they have any paperwork in here for this? And multiple times in different businesses, I've had a third party, a mom or dad or brother or cousin ruin the deal after it was like almost agreed to or something. And so I like going over like main concerns and questions because I still feel that for you to be the best that you can be, that you have to be able to say the things that even are a little bit uncomfortable, that may lose a deal. I want you to be transparent and be a good salesman and not be a bad sportsmanship person and stuff. And then after that, you just close the deal and you gather the information and you get the sales agreement. And that's good.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.